This is the third talk into this year program, and this year we have selected, or we have come back to the first year of the five-year program together, and will be studying together the Anapanasati Sutra, the teaching on the full awareness of breathing. The first talk was given by my brother Matt. The second talk was given by Sister Terry. Today you were to be entertained by brother Tony. So I'm stealing the show here today. Brother George has sent out in the announcement a link to the beautiful talk that Brother Tony has prepared. I will encourage you to take the time to download it and to listen to it later. Thank you all. Thank you everybody for your practice. For the practice that you have been doing before this talk, it is so wonderful to hear about the practices that the practice that is being offered and held everywhere. This morning, this morning in Montreal, the Sangha assembled together for the recitation of the 14 mindfulness trainings at 8 in the morning, meaning that some friends must have been up at 5 or 6 in order to be able to be present for the recitation ceremony at 8. So thank you for your diligence. I couldn't join. The door was locked. What I'm so happy to know or to share with you is that while the OI brothers and sisters were doing the recitation, there's also a day of mindfulness that has been offered to the non-OI or OI to be in some time from now. So that's wonderful. Leads me to share with you my view of the ETOC program. The ETOC program for me is that wonderful opportunity that we have to be together as a big sangha. A sangha that is not bound or limited by the geography, but that can be everywhere. And we know that we are each practicing, doing the best we can under the circumstances we are, wherever we are. I am so far away from you, I am across at the other end of the world, but I'm with you. And I am so happy every time I have the chance to be with you, to see you all on the screen, and to be practicing with you. So thank you for that, and that is for me the most precious aspect of the ETOP program, that we can be offering to one another. By our presence, we are supporting one another. By our presence, we are acknowledging and we are benefiting also from each other's presence. The program that we have developed together during the summer is the collective work of my brothers and sisters, Dhamma teacher Lily from Montreal, Terry from Texas, and Brother Tony from Pittsburgh. Every month, we draught and Antonio will be sending out the readers for the topic of the month. And every month, we try to send it out 2 or 3 weeks in advance. And I am very happy every time I receive it. And I'm reading it very carefully. And this month again, I find that there's so much material in the pre-readers. And that is why I would like to encourage you, whether you are participating in the e-talk or not, but if you receive the email and the pre-readers, to please look into them. There's a lot of material there, and there's much more than you need in terms of content. And I do not think that I will be able to sum it up for you in the hour that I have, or that my brothers and sisters will be entertaining you in the Dhamma talk will be able to do. The pre-readers are very complete, and reading and practicing with the pre-readers is strongly encouraged. just because our friends has been working so hard to make them available, and they are also so very, I don't know which word to use, but they are complete, full, etc. So, coming back to this year program, I had a chance to speak in Montreal and at the retreat at our in the Montreal fall retreat, and also briefly in Pittsburgh. The Anapanasati Sutra is one of our livre de chevet, is the base of our practice. And in our practice, I would consider that this sutra, the sutra on the better way to live alone, are the two bases of our practice. And the Anapanasati Sutra in particular is very dear and precious to our teacher. And if you have read his book, you may have seen that he has shared that when he discovered this sutra, it was the happiest day in his life. Thay has been practicing for many years, and he was practicing with the Anapanasati Sutra. But somehow he did not get to this text until later. And when he read it, he was very happy. And the teaching that he has given us has been very much based on this sutra, just as many many, if not all, of the meditation teachers that we know. I have also shared in the retreats about Master Tang Hoi preface to the Anapanasati Sutra, and that made me, I was to use the word proud, but Master Tang Hoi preface meant that this sutra has been practiced in Vietnam since the 2nd and the 3rd century, which made Vietnamese Zen the father of the Chinese Zen that we thought. And so Zen Buddhism started with Master Tang Hoi and the Anapanasati Sutra in the 2nd century, 300 years before the appearance of Bodhidharma. And so that is something that we can not ask but suggest that the historian look into into correcting the fact that the origin of the I'm sorry, I just cannot find the word, because this is me being too proud and trying not to say it out, but all of this is to say that Zen started in Vietnam with Master Tang Hoi, went to China and then back, not the other way around. Thank you. When I was when I started to study this sutra, and when we were studying it together at the Montreal MPC, and that was maybe 12 years ago, Nespa Lili. I was so happy, I was very proud also to share about the introduction of the sutra, and very too often we jump to the meat of the subject, and we say, so the first one is in, out, the second one is body, and the third one is blah blah. But what I very much like in this sutra, as I like in most of the sutra that I read, is the introduction part. And I don't know if you have had the chance to read it or not, and if you have not, it would be nice if you do. You will enjoy doing it. I'm opening my Kindle. And it starts like all the sutra. I heard this word of the Buddha, blah, blah, blah. What I like in this is, and I will read it to you. The senior bhikkhus in the community was diligently instructing bhikkhus who are new to the practice, some instructing 10 students, some 20, some 30, and some 40. In this way, the bhikkhus new to the practice gradually make great progress. And so that show us how the Buddha organized his Sangha in the study and practice. And so they were more senior bhikkhus instructing the newer one, and the stronger one would have more than the etc. And why is it that I like that image? It's because that's how I also see Thai Sangha. When we look at Thai as our Buddha, the Buddha of this time, and we look at the monasteries, and we look at all the sanghas, the sanghas that we are together today. And I look at the Montreal MPC, and I see two Dhamma teachers there, and I see another Dhamma teacher in training, who is now in the other room with another group of very new practitioner. And I've seen Pittsburgh with my brother Tony there, and all the Living River Sangha assembled around here. And I see in Gale House my sister Terry with all the Texas practitioner. And it is so alike, the image that I have of the Sangha of the Buddha, with Sister Terry instructing 50 or 60 new bhikkhus, and the brother Tony instructing another group of 50 to 60 bhikkhu, and my sister Lily instructing some, etc. And when I look at our Sangha in that way, I can see that the Buddha is very alive, and that the Buddha is still here with us. And when we are getting together like this, and we are having our brothers and sisters from Texas sitting together with our brothers and sisters from Pittsburgh, and from Colorado, and from Kansas City, and from Santa Fe, and it really make me feel so blessed, so fortunate, so lucky, and it make me feel I don't miss not having been born at the time of the Buddha. I do not miss not having had the chance to be sitting in his assembly to listen to him, because he's still here with us, and because he is still there in Thai's presence, and it is because he's still in the monasteries that where we go to retreat, and he is manifesting in this series of e-talks with your presence and by your presence. So that was the image that I wanted to share with you from the introduction of the Anapanasati Sutra. And I will continue to read. That night, the moon was full, and the Pavahana ceremony was held to mark the end of the rainy season retreat. Lord Buddha, the awakened one, was sitting in the open air, and his disciples were gathered around him. After looking over the assembly, he began to speak. O bhikkhus, I am pleased to observe the fruit that you have obtained in your practice. It is the Buddha addressing his bhikkhus 3,000 years ago. But we can close our eyes and we can see ourselves there, and we can see ourselves being with the Buddha in that assembly, and hearing the Buddha telling us what I just read. The words of the Buddha has begun a long time before that assembly, and is still continuing, and we are still hearing his voice telling us, I'm pleased to observe the fruit that you have attained with your practice. And so please do hear those words as the words of the Buddha telling you how pleased the Buddha is with your practice. And I continue, and the Buddha continues, I know you can make even more progress. What you have not yet attained, you can attain. What you have not realized, you can realize perfectly. I can hear the Buddha telling that to me. I can hear my teacher telling that to me. And I am very happy to be reassured that whatever I have not attained, I can attain, that I have the capacity to do it. And I know that it is much easier for me to do with you as my Sangha. And together, we are realizing the words of the Buddha. We are realizing and we are making his word true, that we can attain whatever we have not attained yet. And when I have the chance to travel to Sangha, when I have the chance to see friends year after year, I can see how we have been progressing together. I still remember how I was when I received the lamp from Thai in 1994. I know that I could have been doing much better, but I also know that I have grown in my practice. I still remember my brothers and sisters. I still remember my brother Tony I met in a retreat in Deer Park. And Brother Tony was a very strong practitioner. I very much liked him, and we had some very interesting conversation I still remember about. But when I look at my brother Tony now, today, he's like a beautiful, ripened tree, flowering beautifully. And it makes me so happy to see how my brother Tony has grown in the practice. I'm so happy to see my sister Lily with the Montreal MPC Sangha. And I can say the same thing to all of my brothers and sisters who I have the chance to meet. And every time I meet them and I see how grown, how they have grown and bloom beautifully in the practice, it makes me so happy. And it makes me so happy because when I see them grown that way, I know that it is my growth I'm seeing also, because we are mirrors of one another. And what I see in you, what I see of you is also a part of me. And I am very thankful for you, for your practice, and together we can manifest, we can make the words of the Buddha, of our teachers, true. Thay used to talk about or to teach us about the living Dharma, the Dharma that we are manifesting when we are interacting with one another, when we are practicing together, when we are walking, when we are together in events like each monthly e-talk that we can have together. So please do not underestimate the effect, the power of this e-talk. There's nothing in the talks that I can be giving, or in the talks that are much more, much better prepared, and eloquently delivered than I can do, because English is not my language, and I'm sorry to use that excuse. But the Dhamma talks are not it. It is our being together. That is most important. And do not come to the talks to try to get or to learn something new. Because there's nothing that we Dhamma teachers can offer you that you do not already know. And there's much more that each of you know than I can ever know or I can ever learn. But this is not about learning. This is not about stuff. This is not about knowledge. This is not about, we have too much of that. It is about our being together. And I still remember Thay. I do not recall who asked him. Or I do not even remember the question. But what I remember is his answer. You do not need any of this. You just need to be happy. And at that time, I was young. I was to use the word stupid, but I will be nice to myself. I won't say that. I said, oh, that's all. That's easy. And the older I get and the more I find it to be so and there's no word for me to express how I feel about that. But it is about the non-attainment. It is about the non-doing. It is about our being. And one of the teachers I have read lately has mentioned about the same thing. And he said, we already have everything inside of us. We do not need anything. The Buddha said the same thing. Thay also said it. And I would like also to share with you that during our preparation of this program, we have been discussing together, me, my brother Tony, Sister Lily, and Sister Terry. And there were two questions that we were asking ourselves. There were questions, and there were questions in the Lin Chi style. What is Buddhism? Was one of the questions we asked ourselves while we were preparing this series of talk. And I'm sharing that with you. Well, it is the behind the curtain thing that we are doing to have some fun between our Dhamma teachers, brothers and sisters. But it is also a question that I would like you to consider. What is Buddhism? Why are you here? What are you looking for? What can we offer? Or how good or what good can it be to you? So that is the questions that I think that we all need to ask ourselves. What is Buddhism? What's in it for me? And that is the most important thing. What's in it for me? Do not worry too much about your neighbor. We are here for ourselves. I am here for myself. I'm here for to try to find a way. To try to find a way that the Buddha has been looking for and that the Buddha has found. The Buddha suffered. The Buddha suffered the suffering of the whole world. And he gave up everything. He almost lost his life in order to find a way out. And he found it. And he has been teaching that all the time. Same thing to our teacher, Thầy Nhất Hạnh. He suffered deeply. He had the teaching of the Buddha, and the teaching of the Buddha became real because he suffered and he used that teaching to get out or to transcend his suffering. Buddhism, we do not need it. Buddhism is nothing if it was not for, if it is not about suffering. And all of the words of the Buddha, all of the texts, all of the commentaries, all of that, Thai say that it is a waste of paper and a waste of saliva if we just spend our time reading and bragging about. And that's not the intent of the Buddha. The intent of the Buddha is to share us about his insight, the insight that he got from his own suffering. And Thai's teaching is the same. Thai's teaching is about his own suffering. And he had the Buddha as his teacher, showing him the way. And without his suffering, it would have been just empty talk and empty words. It would have just been a book of recipe, but no food to eat. And it is only in of our suffering that Buddhism deserves to be what it is, which is the raft, which is the remedy or the medicine to get us out of our suffering. And so doing the work that I'm doing, doing the practice that I'm doing, is about my suffering, is about understanding my suffering with the help of the insight from the Buddha and from our teachers. And this is about so when I'm studying or practicing Buddhism, that is the star or the north star that I'm trying to never forget, because it is so easy for us to lose ourselves in what word to use now? The sutras, the Buddhist philosophy are so exciting. It is so entertaining. And and we may lose ourselves in it. And I still remember how I was so attracted to those Zen stories, making my head work. And I was very proud and arrogant to talk about and to share my readings. And looking at the libraries, looking at the everything that has been written and published, it would take anybody many lifetime to be able to go through everything that has been. And when I listened to the great thinker or temporaries, and I don't know how to call them, but for example, Wayne Dyer, who just passed away, I read him and he's so bright, and everything that he say makes it so wow. And when I catch myself being caught into those exciting words, conferences, movies, etc., and I can catch myself and wake myself up to the why am I here and what I'm doing. What is Buddhism? The insight of all those teachers, their insight. They are nice to read, they are nice to hear. But the true insight that can liberate us is the insight that we need to cook up ourselves with our own suffering in our own life. And that's the true living Dharma. That's true Buddhism. Buddhism born out of our own suffering. And that's what we have been debating, playing with together when we were preparing this series of talk. I'm not sure about what my brother Tony and sister Terry and Lily has come up with as their answer, and I look forward to have the chance to discuss more with them about that question. And I will invite the whole Sangha to also consider and ask themselves or ask themselves in a Dhamma discussion on what's in all of this for me. That's the question that I'm asking. Well, I'm suggesting that you ask yourself and there were also another question that is not unrelated to this question. The second question was, what is the Dhamma talk? If we want to offer Buddhism and we are asking ourselves, what is Buddhism? And the way to deliver what we are thinking or coming up with is through the means of well, Dhamma talk is only one of the small tools that we are using. And well, I think that Dhamma talk is not my strength, it's not my strong point. And that's okay. But I believe in the strength of a Sangha. And that is why our getting together, as I have mentioned earlier in this conversation, is our most precious present to one another. And I wish us to be able to continue to give this precious gift to one another each and every month. And do not come for the Dharma talk, at least not for mine, because you won't get much. But come together, to be together. Come to immerse yourself in this wonderful energy of the Sangha. Come to embark yourself in the boat of compassion, the boat of understanding that can lead us all together to the other shore. And this is what we are doing together when we are participating in these talks. So I apologize again for friends who have been here for a well-structured Dharma talk. I have some notes here, and I can get back to it. So we are here together to study the Anapanasati Sutra. And this month, we were to study the awareness of sensations. Some call it awareness of feelings. But it is about the exercise 7 and 8. And the exercise 7 and 8 is about awareness of mental formations. C'est ça, Lily? Oui? Okay. In some reading, I find feelings. In some reading, I find other words. And I'm not sure how the original text is, but it is about however we want. Feelings or emotions. And I think that the generic word is mental formations. Thay, in his later teaching on the 7th and 8th, has somehow rephrased it, and he say the 7th exercise is about awareness of pain. And it is really about the Four Noble Truths. So when we are studying the seventh, and we say, aware of painful feeling, I breathe in. Aware of painful feeling, I breathe out. And we are practicing sitting there in mindfulness, very aware of what is going on inside our body and in our mind, being very aware of that painful feeling arising and staying there. And because we have practiced the breathing in, breathing out before, because we have practiced mindful breathing, because we have practiced mindful walking, because we have developed a very strong energy of mindfulness, we can be there, and we can practice the seventh exercise, aware of painful feeling. We do not run away. We do not cover it up. We do not distract ourselves away from it. We just stay there, stable, solid, and we look at it. We look at the painful feeling arising in us. We look at the painful feeling staying there, and we look at it fading away. And that is a very difficult practice. And in order to be able to practice the seventh, which means to be aware of the painful feeling and to stay there with it, in order to be able to go to the eighth exercise, which is to count that painful feeling, it takes a lot of stability, a lot of strength, a lot of solidity, a lot of whatever, mindfulness. It takes a very good dose of mindfulness, mindfulness that we have developed with the first and second exercise. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. Breathing in, I come back to the present moment. Breathing out, I smile. And we do that in our daily life. We do that when we are sitting in meditation. We do that when we are walking from our car to the office. We are doing that when we are waiting in line at the bank. And when we are doing in-out, what are we doing? We are practicing in order to develop our capacity of mindfulness, the mindfulness that can bring about concentration and insight, that can bring about the solidity and the stability that we need in order to be able to practice with the exercise 7. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. Breathing in, I see that painful feeling arising in me. Breathing out, I smile to that painful feeling that has arisen in me. Breathing in, I look at a recognized painful feeling. Breathing out, I am also that painful feeling. Breathing in, I see myself as Thay has taught me to be that loving mother, listening to her crying baby, and going there to be with and to attend to the crying baby. The loving mother does not run away from the crying baby. The loving mother runs toward the crying baby in order to be able to embrace, to comfort, to be with and to hold and to cradle the crying baby. And when the loving mother is cradling the crying baby, the baby calms himself, herself down just by the presence of that embracing mother. And I so treasure and love that image that Thay has taught us on how to deal with our painful feeling. So can we be that loving mother to our hurting, to our crying child, to ourselves in pain? Can we be there for us in order to hold ourselves, to embrace ourselves, to give ourselves the love and comfort and warmth that we need in order to be able to suit, to be better, in order to be able to calm our painful feeling down? And once the loving mother has held and embraced that painful crying baby, and once the baby has calmed down, the mother can see what has been at the root what has caused that painful feeling. And that is the insight that has been born from calming the pain. And when I was looking at that image that Thay has taught us, I could see the whole Four Noble Truths of the Buddha there. This is suffering, the crying baby. There's a root, there's a cause to that suffering. And it can be the diaper, it can be something that has caused that pain to be. But once the cause is discovered, then the way out and the cure is there also. And that's the way to happiness. And so, the Four Noble Truths, the crying baby, the mother, are all the same teaching. And practicing the seventh and the eighth breath is about the First Noble Truth, the truth of suffering, awareness of suffering. It's about the cause of suffering. It's about the way out of suffering, calming the pain. And once the pain is calm and we can see the root of it, then that's the insight, and that's the way out. So that was my reflection, or my, not reflection, it's not mine, it's all Thay's. But it is so wonderful to be studying the eighth, the seventh and eighth exercise, to be reminded of what I am here for and how it is that I can do it. So I'm here because of my suffering, because of my trying to find the way out. And the teaching of the seventh is about using the mindful breathing as a tool in order to practice how to handle suffering in order to be able to find its root cause and to find the way out. The way out has also been mentioned in the introduction of the Anapanasati Sutra, and it is about liberating the mind. So our suffering can be is the very essential ingredient for our liberation. And another image that Thay has given us that I would like to share with you to conclude this talk is about no mud, no lotus. So our liberation will only be possible from our skillfulness, or how our knowing how to deal with our suffering, how to be able to use it in order to transform it. And the Thay has used the no mud, no lotus image, has used the compost and the flower image, and our suffering is the very ingredient that can grow us into the Buddha that we can be. And the seventh and the eighth exercises are the two tools that we can use in order to know how to better suffer. And using the seven and the eight will allow us to suffer much less than we would without the practice. And if we continue with the practice, we will attain what we have not attained yet, which is liberation of the mind. And that is the word of the Buddha in the introduction of this sutra. So my time is over. It was wonderful. Thank you for being here again.